Blog Talk Radio.
America, but I don't know that Kamal can hear me, even though.
I can.
Okay. We're on
having some technical difficulties again.
Just slight. But we're going to make it happen, because that's what we do.
That's what we do.
We makes it happen. Because we're the happening crowd.
That's not what the kids say.
Don't care about them kids. Who are you fooling? What cannot no children say?
I don't know.
I'm having difficulty. But we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it.
We're making it happen.
That's cool.
What's up with you?
Having a rough one, but you know, when am I not having a rough one?
That's true. But I love you anyway.
How about you? What's up with you?
The heat
America's
again.
Favorite voice.
The heat again.
Yeah, cry me a river, nigga. It's 90 plus up in here.
It's supposed to be 90 plus in a few days. It's in the upper 80s right now. Hey.
Yes.
What you mean, cry you a river inward?
it's 90 today. It's going to be the coldest day
like
for the next five.
We don't talk like that on this show.
Who don't use that kind of language?
I don't.
I learned it from you. What are you talking about?
Whatever, nigga.
See, nobody knows the troubles I have to deal with.
That word is only in my vocabulary when you say it.
Yeah, uh-huh. And about that bridge you want to sell me?
Yeah, okay. People know me.
They do know you. That's exactly the problem.
They know I don't use that word.
Oh, man. How dumb am I?
Let me count the ways.
Yeah, start.
Do you really want to answer to that question?
Go ahead and start.
No, man, really, no. We've broken records, and we're on tap to break another one. We're getting ready to break having the most days of 90-degree weather in a year ever.
That's what you get able to have legal marijuana.
We haven't had any significant rain since the beginning of June. And we've had something like 60-some-odd consecutive days of 70-plus. That doesn't happen here. That's what I keep trying to tell you. We out here dying in Seattle.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but see, this is what you all get for saying you like to get baked legally.
I don't think it was literal. I'm pretty sure.
Hello, please state your name after the tone, and Google Voice will try to reach.
Hello, Beverly.
See what I got going on there? See
Wait,
what I got going on there?
Why is Google? What? Is that you?
That's it. We got some technical difficulties happening.
Are these shenanigans coming from Baltimore?
This is coming from a certain weird place. So I'm giving you control of the show for a second, and I'm gonna fix this.
You didn't fuck up the whole show.
Watch, listen.
And now you're echoing.
Hold on. I'm fitting to fix this, but you got the show for right now for half a second.
That's because you got a Mississippi ass system over there with tinfoil on the antenna and internet that only works every third day. This is just shenanigans.
This is how we fix it. This is how we fix it. And you are not allowed to use my real name.
Okay, Yale.
You cannot use my entire real name on national airtime.
Have you lost your mind?
I will send Bill Cosby to your house.
I did not use your entire name. I did not.
I will send Bill Cosby to your home and tell him you like disco biscuits. Don't mess with me.
Disco biscuits?
We're not going to do this.
Are those the red ones or the yellow ones? You did not just threaten me with the cars.
I did. I'm going hardcore, shorty.
I don't know what I did to deserve that. I did not use
you don't know.
Name.
Yeah, all right. Okay. All right.
I did not. Furthermore, nobody would have known if you hadn't said nothing.
Yeah, there are people who listen who know.
I could have been calling you that short little brown bear.
Though Ted is my hero, no. Sell that story to somebody else, please. Child, please. Ain't nobody that dumb.
I activated some kind of chip. I activated your clue chip. Flame.
Yeah. There's going to be a chip activated. Can't believe you. You're supposed to know the code, and you up here just all out of pocket.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you about to learn, Fi. You about to learn a Fi.
Y'all ain't kind of snapped on a sister.
Went hardcore quick.
Right, like somebody's mama. You will not.
Not today. No sirree, buddy. There is a line.
You outed yourself. Because nobody would have known that reference if you hadn't claimed it.
Right. There's a line.
You could call me by my middle name and I'd be like, what? Who? What you talking about?
Yeah, but if I use your full name and hand it over to TSA, see if you fly this week. See if you fly again this year. Go ahead. See if you can fly.
I'm already on that list. I'm already on that list. So that's an empty threat.
You'll be one sitting at home sister, boy, and messing around with me. Just throwing out information. Just throwing it out there.
Right. Because your name is John Smith, so nobody would ever know who you really are.
Right. You know what? And I said I would stop being ashamed of my middle name because I honor my grandfather because it was a rich, you know, he's the first one in the family that's a Theodore. But when you threw it out there, just, I was like, wait, what?
I don't think there's anything wrong with Theodore, honestly.
Of course not, because you didn't have to go through high school, middle school, and elementary school with the name. That's why you don't find anything wrong.
No, I went through school with the name Kamal. Thank you.
And
cry me a river.
Look, it was bad enough I was known as Beverly Hillbillies, Yale Heights, Yale University, Beverly Hillbillies, Harvard. All those are fine, but then you throw in Theodore, child girl.
Yeah, okay, but we all know what Kamal has been bastardized as by these people who can't read.
Yeah,
at least they weren't calling you a syphilis spitting animal.
This is true. But Yale was cool, and then you throw Theodore, and none of the girls want to talk to you like, oh. What an odd old name.
Yeah, or you can get called Camel. You can get called Commode. The list goes on.
I hadn't thought about Commode. You have a point there.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to let you slide on that.
At least your middle name ain't like Jedediah. Mordecai.
Theodore is not far off from Jedediah. It's just two steps up from Jedediah. So it's
but still two
really
steps
close.
Up.
So since I already threatened you with some disco pills, disco biscuits, I guess we should start there.
Okay, so here was my moment of Bill Cosby is completely effed up. Was it the New Yorker who did the photo spread?
Or no, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Okay, so it was the New Yorker or New York Daily News something. And they had a photo spread of all his accusers. Most of them used their real name and their ages, and when the assault took place.
Did they have pictures of when the assault took place? Did they have what they looked like then as opposed to what they look like now?
No, but that's not even an issue. I mean, some of the women are older and they look older. I mean, you know, some women are 70 and look 70. But there were
I get that, but I want to know what they look like. I personally want to know what they look like at the time.
There were a handful of women who were in their 40s now, and they are saying that the assaults took place in the 80s. Now, when it comes to my own age, math is hard.
Math is real hard because of your age. Math is really, there's got to be some sort of like Stephen Hawking black hole time reversal quantum leap physicist to understand how your age mathematically works. But I just decided to go with I. Let it be that.
Okay. My point is that if some of these women, I did their math, and some of these women were like 16,
17, 18.
If it took place in the 80s.
Right.
And right.
There's
one, there was one.
It'd have to be like 89.
Right. Because there was one woman who was like 44, and she said her assault took place in the 80s. So even if I'm charitable and say 89, she was, you do the math, 16?
Yeah, because, okay, so I graduated from high school in 1980. This is my 35th year being out of high school. So that would mean in 89, which is 9 years, that's tough, man. That's
right,
like she
right,
had to be hanging out with Rudy on the
right,
set.
Well, if she's 44, I think that she was in 89 she was 18, depending on when she was born. But there was another woman around that age who was saying her assault happened in 1986.
Uh-huh.
And if she's telling the truth about her age, she must have been about 16 or 17 when it happened.
See, again, I got married in 86. I was 24. So, it's one of them things that make you go,
Right. Now the majority of the women are currently in their, I would say, late 50s to late 60s. So a lot of this stuff took place in the 70s and early 80s, but there was a handful that were in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I was like, okay, this is some real diabolical shit. Because if you think about that, you know, if you're a teenager or a young adult in the 80s, you are most likely enamored. If you know, if you're in the situation where you can get assaulted, you're enamored with Dr. Huxtable. You're trying to get on the set to see Theo.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with Dr. Huxtable.
See, and I've often wondered, you know, I'm not, how can I put this delicately? I'm not a good person, but, you know, there was a time period when there was a rotation of young black actresses on black themed shows, right? So all both of them. Fresh Prince and the Cosby Show. And, you know, you
well,
can see.
Well, you know,
see
I thought
King.
Even that these. Well, I thought these girls might have even been trying out for A Different World, because I think A Different World started in like 88, 89.
Right. Right. I'm going to give you that.
Or even trying out for a role to be Theo's girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? Because that's right there.
And that's my point. So you're either going to be Theo's girlfriend on The Cosby Show or Will Smith's girlfriend on Fresh Prince. And a little later on, you could get a gig as a walk through the camera on A Different World.
But
always wondered.
I think The Fresh Prince was the early 90s, I think. I think The Fresh Prince started in like 90, 91.
Yeah, but The Cosby Show was still going on during The Fresh Prince.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
they had cross pollination.
So, you know, to see Robin Givens as the burger on The Cosby Show and see Regina King on Fresh Prince. My point is, back then, I always wondered, if there aren't that many black actresses in Hollywood that can get these roles, why these two got to be so fine? How did they get on the show? You always wondered, how did this happen? You know, and there were others, you know, that, you know, whose names escape me now, who are well known now, who weren't well known then, because no one knew who Robin Givens was when she was on The Cosby Show, right? But she was what? She couldn't have been more than 17, 18.
21. No, 21 Jump Street. No, and Robin Givens.
Robin Givens was on 21 Jump Street?
No, that was Holly Robinson Pete.
Thank you.
No, Robin Givens was on something. Because Robin Givens is older than somebody talking on the show. Robin Givens is older than me.
Well, according to you, so was Rudy.
Older than me. I think Robin Givens is right in the middle of us. I think that she's a few years younger than you and a few years older than me. So I don't think she was a teenager when she was doing that stuff.
Why do you make me look stuff up? I hate looking stuff up. And no, I don't want Robin Williams. I want Robin Givens. Thank you, Google. Robin Givens was born in 64, so she's fit. She's fit.
Like I said, she's a few years older than me and older than my sister.
Well, according to you, she's more than a few years older than you.
My sister,
a lot more than a few.
Years older than, she's a few years older than my sister. 2 years younger than you. I was born in the 60s. So
okay.
There's that. Uh-huh. That's all I'm going to say. I was born after the 60s, and that's all that needs to be said.
The Theory of Everything, starring Kamal and Stephen Hawking. Don't make me break out the Stephen Hawking voice synthesizer app on the phone.
Now, Regina King is close to my age. I think we're my sister's age. I think they're a year apart.
Regina King, you know the way I feel about it. Regina King can absolutely get it. And it's all about the eyes. But she was born in 71. So she is now single. Hello. What?
And I've met her.
Gotta go. Get into Hollywood.
And you know, one of her favorite movies, I found a copy of it and I gave it to her when I was doing a junket for Ray, maybe? I think she was in Ray. Bugsy Malone. The
Bugsy
one with Scott
Malone.
Baio.
Yes.
Remember Scott
I remember
Baio
that.
And Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
I found a copy of it and gave it to her. And she gave me a big old hug and a kiss because she'd been looking for it for years because that was one of her favorite movies growing up as a kid.
Wait a minute. You gave her a copy of the movie? She didn't have Netflix? What the fuck?
Look, I don't know.
Anything else she doesn't have that you want, that she needs? Because the brother can't handle the liver. We're talking about
Regina
King,
man. This is like 8 years ago already.
Okay.
Not everybody had Netflix 8 years ago.
Yeah, but so I'm just saying, I could roll up whatever she needs right now, she can get from me.
Well, next time I happen to run into her,
make sure I'm with
another,
you.
Right,
Lord knows I would love to
see her again.
Lord knows I would love to run into Regina King.
You stupid. Whew.
I'm starting to
sweat right now.
I am unable with you today. This show has just gone off the rails. This is not even a show.
Okay, I'm going to have to turn the fan on because we're talking about Regina King. Let's get back on to a topic.
Ridiculous. At any rate,
so,
Bill Cosby was messing with teenagers.
Yeah, Cosby.
I mean, you know, if this story is to be believed, they were teenagers at the time. And I don't care if you're 19, you're still a teenager. You're just an old teenager. But
right,
with my math.
But you ain't know. But then again, not to in any way, shape, or form justify it. Not to justify it. If Bill Cosby was, I mean, Heathcliff Huxtable turned 40 on one episode of the show, right? One famous episode of the show, he was turning 40, right? So, and we know he really wasn't because, well, yeah, that might make sense because he's, what, 77
now?
No,
he was born in the 30s and the show came on in the 80s.
Yeah, but he's 77 now, right?
Right, but he wasn't really 40 then, is my point. Look, if he was born in 37, he was turning 50 in 87.
He was born in 37.
So he
right?
he wasn't really 40 on the show.
Well, 87, he'd have been 50, but I think the episode when he turned 40 was, okay, so he was older. He was a lot older.
Well, the episode wasn't filmed in the 70s. There's no way his real age.
Right.
My whole point is,
if he was, yeah, but explain to me your age and the year you were born and how old you are now compared to knowing some stuff that you ain't supposed to know about. But we're not going to do the Stephen Hawking thing anymore.
I was born in 1990. I'm 25, and there's TV Land, and I have older siblings. Next.
Okay. So, but my point is, if he was, let's say he was 45 and she was 20.
And
not to say that is true, but not to say it, but I'm just saying if a guy is 45 and dating a 20-year-old, society doesn't give him the, oh, how dare you. They give him the high five and the wink, wink, and you know, they do that mess with him, you know, in those ages. However,
yeah.
If you are raping a 20-year-old and you're 45, it's a different story.
Right, but we're not even talking 20. We're talking 16, 17,
18, 19. Right, and again, I really, you know, my whole deal is people need to divorce themselves mindset from Heathcliff Huxtable and Bill Cosby. They're two different people. One's a real live person. The other one is a character created for a television show.
Right, but what I'm saying is, in the 80s, when these women were, you know, middle teenagers to older teenagers, he was the most famous black man on the planet, period.
You know, next to Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, because girls in the 80s, after he wasn't boxing anymore, knew Muhammad Ali. Come on, man.
They did. I mean, Muhammad Ali is the most famous black man in the world. Now Barack Obama has really stolen his thunder.
Yeah, but Muhammad Ali wasn't coming into your television every Thursday night. He wasn't the ideal father. You know, I mean, I don't know the story of these women. Of any of these women personally, I know that at that time in my world, a lot of my friends that age didn't really have a father in the house, didn't have a relationship with the father. We're talking mid-80s. So the only father figure they had was Dr. Huxtable.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the coolest dad on the planet. you know, and you know what the representation of black folks was prior to him being on television.
Right, and we've talked about that repeatedly, and I still don't care what anybody says. I still have issues with Good Times and how that show portrayed and led people to believe that all blacks were like everybody on Good Times.
Yes, and we've all and we both said that not every black family was like the Huxtables. But, you know, we have to acknowledge that despite the fact that weren't the Huxtables, this was the first time that a lot of people saw normal black folks on television.
Mm-hmm. Wholeheartedly agree.
Dad on television. You know, if you don't have if you don't have a dad in your house and you see Dr. Huxtable, of course you want Dr. Huxtable to be your dad. So I could see how somebody at that age, a middle teenage girl, getting the opportunity to meet Dr. Huxtable. At that age, we're not separating Bill Cosby from Dr. Huxtable. We're teenage girls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But hopefully as a teenage girl, you're not hanging out at the Playboy Mansion either.
No, but I don't know these women's stories because I didn't have time to read it. But my best guess is, given his history, Playboy Mansion notwithstanding, that these girls probably were on the set.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least on the back lot and in the trailer. Because I got a feeling that there was
they ended up in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that, you know, Camille and
you know, these
other people
have
tight
range. For all I know, these could have been, you know, friends of the kids on the cast. They were all that age except for Rudy.
And then Raven. Later, Raven.
Yeah.
But look, before we spend the entire show talking about Bill, I just want to say the fact that he's now fighting back, supposedly, makes me really want him to just sit down and go away. Everyone
right,
has a right to defend themselves, but...
But the evidence is overwhelming. You know, I can see
evidence is overwhelming.
I could see him going hard to the mat with one or two allegations, right?
Mm-hmm.
But 28? Have a seat, Bill.
Yeah, and if your defense is everybody was taking drugs to do sex at that time, you need to just go sit down, man. Because if everyone was doing it, they wouldn't have a problem with it.
And that narrative may hold in the late 60s to late 70s, but we've established that I was sheltered. But I think that the disco biscuits might have started to die out a little bit as a drug of choice in 1986.
Yeah, and quite honestly, my feeling is even if it was the drug of choice, for people to use before they start bumping uglies. How come only they were given the drug and you had to do so covertly?
Right. I mean, in the middle 80s, I barely knew what a Quaalude was. I don't even remember them covering that. I knew what crack was. I knew what marijuana was. I knew what sherm and mushrooms and angel dust was, but we just didn't really talk about pills.
I just know that in the mid 80s, well, early 80s, when I was hitting my stride and I was striding very well, thank you. The big thing for me with sex was condom. They are no longer something you have to quietly ask the pharmacist for, and after like go to 7-Eleven to get a pack of three at 2 o'clock in the morning. You could, you know, you could go to the grocery store and just walk up and grab them. You didn't have, they didn't have to be behind the counter anymore in the '80s because everybody was strapping up and nobody said, ooh, drug me to get this. Well, let me try to, you know, there was, I messed with some women who wanted to get high or get drunk or even, try to do some cocaine beforehand. And I was never into any of that, except that, you know, you want to have a drink, then fine, you can have a drink. I ain't got a problem with you getting a drink, or seven. But
you know what? I just had a scary thought. Maybe the women got younger in the 80s because he was afraid of AIDS. Because he has an outside child, so clearly he wasn't wrapping it up.
True.
In 86, 87, that was full-blown AIDS.
Yeah. I see we have someone in the studio in the queue, area code 206. If you would like to say something, please hit one on your phone dialer thingy and let us know you have a question, and I'll bring you in.
206, that's my neighborhood.
Oh, Lord, the police are monitoring. Here you go again. You're going to get the internet police on us. We're going to get disconnected. Watch. It's going to happen. It always happens. But I'm going to move on to
please,
your boy.
Bland, please.
Oh. Yes. Well, okay, let's go to Sandra Bland. I'd like to finish with Sandra Bland because that's going to be the bigger story.
All right, we can go to Trump and his stupid-ass counsel.
Yeah, I think he's clearly had an influence on the Republican clown car. Because for Mike Huckabee to make the statement that he made, and then for Marco Rubio to double down and say it was a classless statement, but what do you expect? We already have a president who has no class in the White House. You know, I'm calling shenanigans and bullshit on all that.
All of that. And Trump's lawyer saying it's a fact you cannot rape your spouse. What? They've all lost their minds completely. And we have Donald Trump to thank for Huckabee, because here's what's going on with Huckabee. He sees that Donald Trump keeps saying these outrageous things and nothing's happening to him. He's climbing in the polls.
Except he's rising the polls.
Yep. So Huckabee, he's like, well, you know, how can I get up there? I'll just say some of this stuff. And like Donald Trump, I'm not apologizing for nothing I say.
But you know what? Huckabee tried this before and no one gave a shit. Okay, because in 2008, when Huckabee was last trying to run, no, I'm sorry, 2012, when Huckabee was last trying to run, he made that comment at the NRA that when a chair dropped, he got up and said, oh, remember, you know, he said, that wasn't a gunshot. It was just Barack Obama ducking because he heard a chair fall or something along those lines.
Yeah, but the difference between then and now is Donald Trump wasn't in the polls. It wasn't running. And Donald Trump wasn't saying outrageous shit that a portion of the American people allowed him to get away with.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So Donald Trump now saying outrageous, stupid stuff is getting that play. So Huckabee is now doubling down again and saying stupid, ridiculous things, hoping it'll rise him up in the polls. And it has given him notoriety, but for real?
So he's just going to push the envelope further.
Right. But
who's going to push it further?
Right, but here's my question: Who's the biggest non-Koch brother supporter for the Republican candidates these days?
Probably still Foster Freeze and that Las Vegas casino owner guy.
Right, and what's the Las Vegas casino guy is Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, and Sheldon Adelson happens to kind of belong to a religious group of people who
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, he's Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Huckabee had to know he wasn't getting none of that money. That money was going to Santorum.
A lot of it will go to Santorum. No question. A lot of that will go to Santorum. But the big deal is Sheldon Adelson carries a lot of weight. So if he can make somebody like he's going to try to do with Santorum and like he did do with Newt Gingrich, he can certainly break a sucker too.
Yeah, but you know what? Huckabee is the honey badger right now.
He's trying to be, but Donald Trump's going to be the honey badger.
Well, he's honey badger light.
Yeah.
And you know what? The next one who's going to say something stupid is Ted Cruz. Will say something stupid. Santorum will say something stupid about gay people.
And gay marriage. And this is very early, people. We're 16 months out.
But we're 9 days out from the first debate.
Right, and this is the first debate. There's going to be like 30 more, I'm sure. And there's hundreds and hundreds of hours of airtime still to be used. Thousands of hours of airtime to still be used up with this stuff. So don't be surprised if it gets even crazier.
Right, and that's my point. I think the debates, and I think leading up to the debates and right after the debates, it's going to be as crazy as possible. Because the goal right now, I mean, especially over the next week, because the goal right now is to break that 10%, right? So they can get in the debate.
And they
are going to follow Trump's lead. You know, those who aren't already guaranteed a spot are going to just keep saying some wild shit so they can go up in the polls because they see that Donald Trump is going up in the polls. Now, that might be a miscalculation on their part because, you know, that Donald Trump saying crazy stuff is not the only reason why he's up in the polls. It's name recognition. Don't nobody give a rip about Huckabee.
No, because he's never finished high in any poll.
But you know what? He doesn't have to finish high. He just has to finish higher than he is right now. And getting his name out there and saying this stuff, you know, now people know who he is. And he is betting that this is going to give him a bump. I don't know where he is in the list, but there's so many of them at the bottom of, like, on the bubble at 2-3%. So all he needs is a couple percentage points, and he makes the debate.
Yeah, if he can crack that top 10, he's in.
And then what does he need to crack the top 10? 4%? He can give 4% saying some outrageous stuff.
Right, but then when you poll that low, you can get on a debate and actually turn water into wine, and no one's they're still not going to pick. You're still going to be at the bottom of the the top 10%. I mean, you can crack. He can crack up to be number 8, and he's still not going to be given any real chance when you consider that. The big Donald Trump, and Rand Paul and Krispy Kreme, they're going to be the ones that everyone's going to be focusing on anyway.
Right, but at the end of the day, does that matter? Their perspective, does that matter? It doesn't. As long as they get on that stage and get some airtime, that's all that matters right now for them. I mean,
you know,
because you and I both know we're not going to be... We're not going to be saying President Huckabee. We're not even going to be saying, you know, primary candidate Huckabee. This time next year, Huckabee is not going to be around. But he's going to do everything he can to get around now.
Okay, he's not going to be Republican nominee Huckabee.
No. No, he's not even going to be candidate.
You know, someone told me something, that an article they read that I thought was really, I had never considered before, but it's clearly obvious. And it had to be written in an article, in a credible article, for me to like go, oh yeah, well yeah. But something we need to actually consider and think about. A lot of these people, according to this article, a lot of these people, knowing they have not an ice cube's chance in hell, right? And we know they do it, but the reason they do it is so they can get book sales and speaking gigs. Because once you have run for office of president, no matter how you fall out of the tree, no matter where you fall out of the tree, if you've been able to A, get those national debates, get in a national conversation, actually be considered a viable candidate, even on a basis level, your speaking fees can go up because you can say your former presidential candidate, Mike Huckabee. You can say your former presidential candidate, Dr. Ben Carson. You can add that cred to your line, and you can ask for more money when you get these speaking engagements, and you get these speaking engagements.
We learned that from Newt Gingrich, right? Because he was selling all five of his books at every campaign stop.
Right. You learned that from Newt, but you and Herman Cain.
How many gigs did Huckabee get after he ran? Because before he ran, he was the governor of what, Arkansas or something? Didn't nobody know?
He was the governor that followed Bill Clinton. Right.
Yeah. Nobody knew who he was from a can of paint until he ran for president. So I fully support that article because it's already been proven.
Right, and the whole thing is what it is. I mean, they don't think that. I bet Herman Cain was really blown out of the water when people started taking him seriously for like 3 days. He actually thought he had a shot, and you know, I'm sure his whole deal was, I'm just in it to get the money. You know, and so we have to look at all these people with a side eye and go, you know what, really, for real, really. Come on, now, you don't really expect Carly Fiorina that you got a real shot, do you?
Right, you know, and we talked
that
about
stage,
that.
Mm-hmm. But getting on that stage would serve her well.
It would serve her well, but, you know, I don't necessarily think that it would serve – well, it would serve her well financially, right, because she'll write a book or whatever. But I do believe that she is serious.
Yeah, she is serious.
She's one of the more serious ones.
Oh, and look, before we give these last 10 minutes to the Sandra Bland case, and I don't even have the sound clip anymore, so shoot me. I really apologize because, you know, I really wish I still had that sound clip. I don't know if you saw on the news today, everyone else saw on the news today, NFL says, Tom Brady, you're going to get 4 games.
Big whoop.
No. The big whoop on it is you get your four games, and oh, by the way, in case anyone didn't know, the reason you're getting those games is because, not that we think you did anything wrong with deflating the balls, it's the fact that when you were under investigation, you kind of destroyed your phone and your SIM card and said, oh, I can't give you any evidence because I've destroyed my phone accidentally and my SIM card, which I do all the time when I trade in for a new phone.
No credibility.
Here's the deal, Tom. That shit don't reside on the physical device. You can destroy all the SIM cards and crush all the phones you want. The phone company still has your text messages and your voicemails and your emails. So you can destroy them all you want, but they're there. They are there.
I don't know about the voicemail, but everything else is.
Mm-hmm. So now let's do this, man. We're a week late with this, and that's all my fault from last week. I didn't focus on it. But let's talk about Sandra. Let's talk about Sandra Bland.
Well, I mean, I can't say it better than anybody, than she said it herself. How did all this happen over a failure to signal? And her stance was that she failed to signal because she was moving out. She saw the cop behind her, and she was moving to the right like you're supposed to do. I can't tell you how many times I don't signal when I see a cop car or an ambulance or a fire truck. I'd get over as quick as I can. But at the end of the day, whether she committed suicide or she was murdered, that police department is culpable because they didn't check on her.
Not only didn't they check on her, she had no reason to be, there was no reason to arrest her. Yes, stop her if you want to stop her for doing a lane change without signaling, but you have no reason to arrest anyone for wanting to know why you pulled me over because I changed lanes without signaling. There's no reason at all, and anything that happened after she was pulled over, for her to have been arrested. Nothing. Nothing could justify that. And if she's not arrested, she's not dead today. And if she is dead by her own hand, which I'm not saying she isn't, I'm just saying if she is dead by her own hand, if she really did that and she would have done it anyway, it wouldn't be on you as the police department to ask for, to be held under the microscope as to why. So your police officer did not control the situation, overreacted in the entire situation, and now you have a young lady who's dead that is, her death has joined the national discourse right now, and all hell is out. And, you know, I got no sympathy for that entire police department, for that sheriff's office, for that officer at all. None.
Because he didn't de-escalate the situation. You know, yes, she was mouthing off. My grandfather used to say, if your head is in the mouth of the lion, don't tickle its ass.
Yeah.
She didn't do anything. She didn't do anything that was not out of her right to do. But you never know what that cop is thinking about. You need to, you know, just take it down a notch. And I'm not blaming her at all.
No.
It was on him to de-escalate the situation. And there's been arguments, oh, well, you know, they don't know if the person's carrying a weapon and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Whatever. If they're carrying a weapon.
Yeah, you don't know that person.
If they're carrying a weapon, you just escalated the situation where you might just get shot in the face.
True, but if they're carrying a weapon, once you get them out of the car and handcuff them and search them, then you make the determination whether or not they have a weapon. That cop, from what little, and I do mean little, I mean very little, what extremely little police training and exposure to police training I've had, that cop was wrong from jump because he did not stand behind, and what I mean behind, I mean, when I say behind, I mean the handle of the door, the car door. Any cop making a police stop to ensure his own safety stands behind the handle of the door of the person he's pulled over so that that person does not have an opportunity to pull a gun out and shoot directly at them. He had the door open and he was standing directly in her way. So that tells me he did not perceive her at any point in time to be a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Because all police are trained that when you pull someone over, you consider them safe after your presence. And only then. Because you can get shot. And most people are right-handed. So if you're right-handed, if someone is standing in front of you or to the side of you, and you're in your driver's seat, your right hand, you can pull a gun from between the seat and reach over right across your body and pull a trigger and shoot someone. Every cop knows that. If you're left-handed, it's even more difficult to do. But if they're beside you, you can reach the gun out the car and pull the trigger. But if they're behind you, left-handed, it's impossible. Right-handed, it's darn near impossible. And it gives the cop opportunity to move out the way and return fire. But he had the door open standing there, so he has no excuse of he perceived her to be a threat, didn't know she had a gun or not. Once he realized that she was upset and he had no reason to pull over, and if he was pulling over, all he could give her was a warning. Changing lanes without turning the signal is not an offense that you give someone a full ticket for unless you're really a dick.
Right.
Right. So this woman gets locked up.
But you know, he wasn't used to the uppity black folks, right? She was just like,
that's true. In Texas, he probably wasn't used to black folk, period. He was used to Hispanics giving him some grief, probably, but not what's this black person thing? What's this here?
And you do have every right to ask why.
And you don't have to put your cigarette out. Again,
no.
If someone says, oh, the cigarette can be used as a weapon, which I don't know. I'm not a smoker, but I have had people flick cigarettes at me that are lit. If you perceive that to be a problem, you don't open the door and stand there in the way of that cigarette being flipped at you. He didn't perceive her to be a threat.
Right.
He never considered her to be a threat. This woman is dead today because this cop really wanted to show that he was in a situation that he was not in charge of. He should have just issued her the warning and kept it moving. I don't know. This country, man, I'm really worried about how things are going. I don't think we're headed to the race war, but I really think.
And we didn't even talk about the theater shooting.
Oh, God, no. We got to push that one in next week.
It's all your fault.
I'm Netflixing everything. Netflixing and bootlegging. From here on out, going back to no movie theater no more. But I will say this shenanigans never happened in a black movie theater because you pull out a gun and start shooting people, you're going to catch bullets coming back. You best believe in the hood.
That's a lie. That's a lie. Get about all the things that were happening at Cullen in the 80s. That's why black people didn't come out until Wednesday for a decade and a half.
All right. I'll see you next week, baby girl.
All right. Love ya.
Love ya.